John the Baptist prepares the way. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip the tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was the tetrarch of Abilene. During the priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Any confusion here about when this was happening? This is what I love about the book of Luke. Any mistakes here? It's during the time of Pontius Pilate. It's a historical fact. We know in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, which was AD 28, this is when things were happening. He was the second emperor of Rome, and Rome had just become an empire. An empire means that it's ruled by one person, right? They had Julius Caesar, and there was a triumvirate, right? Three guys ruling. How'd that work out? Julius Caesar killed the other two, right? That's how it worked out, right? We'll share power. Okay, you guys are gone. It was that during the 15th year, so we know when it was, and we know when Herod was the tetrarch. These are the grandchildren of the great Herod the Great. They always say sometimes when your life is like your family tree is like a wreath, right? Kind of confusing. Have you ever seen King Herod's family tree? It's a big old mess. Everyone's named Herod. It's like George Foreman named all his kids George, right? So here he is. It's like Herod married, five different women, and most of them he divorced by the sword, you know? And someone would say it's better to be a pig than Herod's wife, you know? And they had all these kids, and he named them all Herod. And so he even named his daughter Herodias after himself, you know? And so they all intermarried, and it like just keeps going around and around. And what a mess it is, you know? And, oh, you can have that. So we know these things happened and where these kings were. So he divided up his kingdom, and they all ruled, and it's true. And as Helen read that, the census was in the year that Quirinius ruled Syria, right? And everyone says, wrong. He didn't rule during that time. And like we just showed you, many people were named Herod. And half the wives were named Miriam, right? After the famous the sister of Aaron and Moses. Very popular name. Mary is a derivative of Miriam. So it's a popular. So we know that could be. They found proof now that there are coins from this other place in Syria, where they found coins, and there was a Quirinius. So it's true. The Bible's always true, isn't it? People try to knock it down, and they find out it comes more truer than ever. So I love that the historical accuracy. And they say during the priesthood was Annas and Caiaphas. Annas was the former head of high priest, but you know he was Caiaphas was his son-in-law. But you know, Annas didn't want to give up power, so he kind of sort of kept it. So he, even though Caiaphas was in charge, Annas was the one everyone looked up to. So we see the word of God comes to John, the son of Zechariah in the wilderness. We read about Zechariah, the priest who prayed for a child, and his wife Elizabeth was barren, and he goes into the temple to light the candles. It's his one time. There was 10,000 priests, so you didn't get to light it every day. It was maybe once every 3 years. He got to light the candles, and Joe's, you're so blessed, you get to light them every week, you know? And so he's in there lighting, and an angel says, you're going to have a baby. He doesn't believe him, so he said, you're not going to speak until the baby's born. And he was born. He said, you're going to call him John. And he did. John went into the countryside all around Jordan. He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, and every mountain will be made low. The crooked road shall become straight, and the rough ways will come smooth. And all the people will see God's salvation. And John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized in, anytime you cause a commotion, they say if you light yourself on fire, people will come to watch you burn, won't they? And so there he is, he's by the Jordan, and he's preaching, but he's preaching the truth, and people want to hear it. I've seen it on job sites, and you work with all these men, these union construction workers, and you preach the gospel, they want to hear it. They want to hear it. We think they don't, but everyone wants to hear it. I know this. So he said to the crowds coming out to be baptized, he says, you brood of vipers, And you ever see the one movie where Charlton Heston plays John the Baptist with a Scottish brogue? I don't know why they chose that. Aye, laddies, I baptize ye. There's my worst Scottish impression. Sorry. You brood of vipers, ye. Who warned you to flee? He calls them a bunch of snakes, right? Because when the fire comes, the snakes, they run out of the bushes, don't they? They don't want to hang around. They're not, they believe in self-preservation. There's terrible snakes. And he says you got to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourself, don't think you can say we have Abraham as a father. For I tell you that, God can lift up from these stones, he can raise children. He can do anything. Just don't say just because you come from a Christian background. My mother was a Christian. My grandmother was the best. She was all the time. She was the best Methodist ever. There was a contest and she won it. She was the long-term Methodist, loved it and embraced it. And her sister, her brother was a preacher, and her brother-in-law was a preacher. He preached at St. John's, believe it or not. Small world, isn't it? The axe is already at the root of the trees. It's going to be cut down, and every tree that does not make good fruit will be cut down. Right, right, Milburns? If the tree doesn't produce good fruit, we cut it down. We're not waiting. We don't have time for that, do we? No. Make good fruit or you're gone. And I see you cut it up, and you can sell it with the apple twigs for smokers, right? There you go. That's thinking. I saw that. I was like, ooh, they got this figured out. Cider and pie and donuts. Everything good. If a tree doesn't produce good fruit, it goes into the fire. But you know, the good news here is what the people say in verse 10. They say, what are we going to do? John answers, if you've got two shirts, give one away to someone who doesn't have one. The tax collectors, they came out too. Boo, everyone hates the tax collectors. And they said, teacher, what should we do? You see, even they want to change, don't they? Because they hear the truth. He says, don't collect any more than you're required to. They could collect whatever they wanted. If you didn't pay it, the Roman guard was going to knock on the door and throw you on a cross until you paid. Soldiers came by and said, what are we to do? John says, don't extort money from people. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with what you are paid. I'm such a Bible nerd, I had to look up what the word extort meant back then. Extortion, I mean, we know what that means, but back then it meant to shake violently. That's what extortion was. Shake them until they paid you. The people were expectantly waiting, and were all wondering in their hearts if John could be the Messiah. John says, no, it's not me. He's not taking the credit. He says, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come. The straps of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with fire, unquenchable fire. And with many words, John exhorted the people and he proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things that he had done, Herod added this to them all, and he had John locked up. Whew, I love this stuff. You guys like this stuff? It gives me quite joy. I'm so excited to get... I don't have any more time, Josie. I'm almost out. So what's he saying here? It's, here comes a man. God promises us in Isaiah that someone's coming. He promises up there in Deuteronomy that God will lift up another prophet just like Moses. And you got to listen to what he says. And so it's finally coming. And when the king comes, what do? You got to make the path straight. What's that mean? The king is coming. He doesn't want to ride on a bumpy road, right? He wants a smooth road. So you got to smooth out the road because the king is coming. Honor him. Get ready, he's saying. Be prepared. And we talked a couple weeks ago about the 10 bridesmaids, and only 5 of them were ready. The other 5 were not. They thought they were ready. They thought they were like daughters of Abraham, that they were ready, and they weren't ready. So when the wedding feast came, they didn't get to join it. They thought they were ready. They weren't ready. And so here we have John coming. He's just telling you, you got to get baptized. You got to repent. The day of salvation is coming. Get ready. But you see, sometimes we say these words like repentance. for our sins to be forgiven. And what does that mean? What shall we do? Does he just pound us with words? He gives us a plan. What's he say? He says, give away half your stuff. If you've got two shirts, give one away. You know how many shirts I got? I cleaned out my closet the other day, threw away 5 pairs of shoes because I bought 3 more. So now no kidding. Same with cats. You know, one cat dies and 3 walk in the back door. You're like, what happened? He gives us a plan. How about giving away half of what we have? Jesus tells us in other parables to give away all that we have, right? And we don't like that. But he says, be generous. Tax collectors, don't charge too much. Soldiers, don't extort and beat people up and throw them into prison for whatever you want to. He gives them a plan. Here's a plan for you. And I'm not the one. He deflects. I'm not the one. I'm just telling you who's coming. He's pointing to Jesus. He's pointing to him. I'm not worthy like a servant to untie his shoes. And yet Jesus got down and washed the feet of his disciples. And if you don't listen, you're going to be burned up. You're going to be burned up if you don't listen to him. You're like the chaff. But then he's going to purify you with fire. Fire purifies. That field that burned down by my house is going to be beautiful in the spring. We should burn the whole place down, right? But they won't let us. I can get away quick. The fire will purify us. The tough times in life will purify us. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He's taking the wheat and he's throwing it up in the air. And what falls away? The good stuff falls here and the bad stuff goes out the door, right? And it gets stuck on it's in the threshing room floor. And what's the thing that divides the threshing room floor from the outside? The threshold, right? That's where that comes from. Tom Connolly taught me that one. You're lucky he's coming next month, all right? So I'm taking a 3-day weekend with my wife. It's her 30th birthday. So we got to do, I got to do something. I have no idea what we're doing, but don't tell her we're going to do something. Any ideas? I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do something. 50. And we celebrate 30 years with me. And people say, how do you do that with him? What's he really like at home? I'm different at home. Some people will listen and some will not. Some will hear. You hear, and we heard that some people in Jerusalem listen. There's a remnant. There's only a few. We see churches closing all the time in this county and new ones getting built. And I say amen to that. It's a big one. We need more churches. We don't need them to close. We're the remnant. These churches should be full because people need to hear the good news. And so sometimes the truth scares people away. But you see, John, he rebukes the king. Foolish thing to do to rebuke the king. And so he invites him to a party, doesn't he? So he's invited to a party. He's the guest of honor, and the stupid daughter gets what she wants, and they deliver his head on a platter because he spoke the truth. And this is what happens to us sometimes. We may lose it all if we speak the truth. But Herod broke the law. You see that? He broke Leviticus law number 18-16. He broke it. You can't marry your brother's wife. You can't take her. He did it. He broke the law. And John called him out and he lost his life because of it. Well, I got to bring up Jim Jones before I close. All right, Josie? You probably heard this one before. Many, many years ago, I think 1994 is when Josie invited me out there. She's the one to blame. She unleashed me on the people. She brought me to church, and I liked it, and I loved to hear the word, and Jim Jones was up there, and he was setting us up. It was the year that the movie The Bridges of Madison County came out. Everybody remember that movie? Meryl Streep and Clint Eastwood, and they're going around taking pictures of bridges, and they sort of fall in love, and it's a nice, beautiful love story, isn't it? Two people falling in love. And we love to watch rom-coms, don't we? That's a romance. Isn't it great? Meryl Streep falling in love with Clint Eastwood. And remember what Jim Jones said? He goes, it was wrong. Wrong, wrong. She was married. But everyone loves the story. They win an Academy Award. It was wrong. Like the Cider House Rules. What an awful movie. Anyone see that junk? Awful. Everyone, what a great movie. Had Michael Caine in it. He's a good actor. We like him, but he did a terrible part. It was wrong. it was wrong, and we don't like to be told that we're wrong. We like to watch our movies. We like to watch what we do at home and think it's okay, and he says, no, it's not okay. Isaiah says in chapter 12, as we close on this note, this is what the Lord says. In that day, I will praise you. And although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense, and he has become my salvation. And with joy, we will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, and make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, you people here of Elk Mills, for great is the Holy One among you. Amen. Amen. Going to turn it all. You see, we see where we're headed, but this is where we're really going. We're going to a place that God is our salvation. He is our joy. That's what we celebrate today. Amen to that.